It's Tuesday, 13th of March, and you're listening to the Game Grin Grincast, your guide to the world of gaming news from the past week. This week was a streamcast, which began a little differently from normal, so I figured I'd edit this in and give it the normal intro, mainly because Cal forgot half of the people's names. So, while Cal entertains everyone with Assassin's Creed Origins, I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Catty, Cal, Nikki, and Kayla. Now on with the show.
It's kicking off with the Game Grin Grincast live stream with Assassin's Creed Origins played by myself, Cal. And joining me with this evening is Ace.
Hello.
Catty.
Hello.
Can't remember anyone else's name, sorry. I normally have them in front of me. Introduce yourselves.
I am Kayla.
Kayla! Go on.
Oh, I'm Nick. I have pizza.
And Nick has pizza.
That's we middle and their surname, by the way.
We are the definition of professionals.
We are. I mean, normally I look at Mumble and I'm like, who's in the podcast this evening? I look at Mumble. Right, rely on Mumble.
You know, Welcome to the podcast. We sometimes talk about things.
We talk about games.
And sometimes we make sense.
We do.
And if you give us money, I won't sing again.
Well, I think this evening our main topic is going to be a little bit of a discussion on crossplay. And more to the point, why is Sony being such a dick about it? But
because
first,
they're winning.
Yeah, it is.
Can I quickly derail us for 1 second and then make a request?
You might as well.
Can I see how big the world map is for Origins, please? I've never seen it.
Push game. I've explored all of it.
That's very helpful, then.
Yeah. I'll show you where you start off. So you start off, it's like an RPG. You start off in Siwa, which is a level 1 to 5 area.
Oh, okay.
And then you sort of move up here, to like Alexandria. And then here, and then slowly move across. And then you can get very distracted and just do all the side objectives. Because... I've done a vast majority of them. There's basically, you know, like with Witcher 3, you've got loads of little question marks to show different mini tasks you can do.
Yeah,
I've essentially just done those. But there are enemy encampments. I don't know. I may have done them. Hang on, this map is not showing all of them. Oh, because I'm not zoomed in close enough. So yeah, there you go. The little ones like. Loot 2 treasures, kill a hippopotamus, or treasure stars, kill an elephant.
Wait, hippos are a thing? How many animals are there in this?
Oh, there's one I missed. There is crocodiles, hippos, vultures is another one.
I just saw elephant as an option.
There is an elephant.
Hyenas.
Hyenas is another one, yeah. Lions, panthers, all sorts.
Enough to start a small zoo with.
Yeah, so you're killing them.
Well, on the
enough
topic
to start a small taxidermy shop with?
I suppose so. And you also have a horse. Although, one thing you might like, there was a DLC thing with Final Fantasy XV, so I got a goddamn chocobo.
No, you didn't get a chocobo. You got an abomination.
No, it's a horse wearing chocobo armor.
It's a camel.
It's even worse.
Whatever.
I also got Ultimate Blade. Which is really shit.
Legendary regular sword.
Yeah.
one of those words doesn't need to be there.
Oh, that's like an abomination right there.
The chocobo has four legs, what?
I actually hate this. I'm sorry, it looks awful.
It's a camel.
Yeah, but it looks so bad.
Who cleared that to go into a video game?
Obviously, Ubisoft just...
Square Enix.
Square Enix was like, we put some Final Fantasy stuff in your game.
Well, Final Fantasy 13-2 did have a Assassin's Creed Brotherhood costume.
Oh, they had a whole quest for that. I watched Nikki actually play that, and it didn't look that good.
I suppose even then again, Final Fantasy 15 does have Gordon Freeman.
On the PC version, yeah.
Hmm.
Which was a pre-order bonus, however, thanks to Steam Workshop support, anyone can get hold of it.
It's a bit silly.
Well, while we're on the topic of Ubisoft games, last week we were talking about Far Cry 5 and wondering whether it'll have any DRM. And so I emailed Ubisoft and asked them, and they confirmed it's going to have de novo, yeah.
Best DRM in the world, says nobody.
Yeah, when Assassin's Creed Origins came out, people claimed that the de novo, I believe they used de novo and something else, a different sort of DRM, which was causing people's CPUs to be at 100% usage at all times.
I did have that problem at first, playing from my experience when I was playing this, and when it got cracked, when the game actually got cracked and made available online, I'm pretty sure Ubisoft may have patched the game and took it off or did something to alleviate it, because the performance on my system has been a lot better.
Completely believable.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, Doom had a similar thing as well. When that game got cracked and made available, they were just like, oh, fuck it, we'll take the DRM off. The game's already sold.
So, do you think it's more of like a, what's the word, a deterrent than anything?
It is more of a deterrent, to be honest with you.
As, you know, everyone knows, piracy and such is an availability issue, and piracy, you know, copies downloaded illegally don't equate to lost sales because you don't know if they were going to buy them originally anyway, yada yada. But the thing I find it curious as well is that whenever you developers put these things in, there are a group of people that just go, well, this is going to be fun. Like, it's just a challenge, isn't it?
I think it's also interesting that two other games recently have had one with a massive DRM problem and another without. Final Fantasy XV came out with de novo, and noted PC games savant Durante, the guy who fixed Dark Souls, basically said that it didn't affect the FPS at all, really. In fact, in most of the tests, the release he took the release version and the demo and put it through CPU tests. The demo obviously didn't have de novo on it. The release version performed better in pretty much all the tests, I think, generally. It was at least on par. So that was interesting. And we had PlayerUnknown had DRM for about a day, and then everyone complained that the game no longer ran at more than about 4 FPS. So they would quickly turn that back.
I mean, to be fair, Final Fantasy XV is a amazing port. Like, it's such a good port. Pug, I don't own it, so I can't really comment, but from what I've seen, it runs like ass regardless, so... But that's is Pug Unreal Engine?
I don't know.
I'll do a quick Google.
Hmm.
Yeah, Unreal.
Trouble for Thieves.
It's always hit and miss with Unreal. Developers either really, like, get it to run so, so smoothly, or they just cock it up. But yeah, I don't know, like, de novo, it's always hit and miss with these DRM things, because, yes, they impact performance, but at the same time, like, de novo seems to be getting cracked so quickly, I kind of don't see why they're bothering to put it in, because it's just going to be cracked within, like, a day.
No, Handball 16 still hasn't been cracked, and that's been out for ages.
There were a few games that were released last year that took sort of 6-8 months to finally crack. Though I can't... I think it was maybe the last Assassin's Creed took nearly a year to crack, Syndicate. If
Just
I remember
Cause,
rightly.
I remember Just Cause 3 and... had it a second ago. FIFA. I don't think FIFA's been cracked yet.
So it is working, and if it is taking up to 6 months, you know, that's kind of like the main bulk of sales that are going to happen anyway.
Well, by the time a game's been out 6 months, it'll be in a Steam sale for 50% off. That's just how it is at the moment.
Unless it's a Call of Duty. Speaking of which, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 has been announced.
Whoa!
I honestly do not like the logo.
Oh god, that is such an insult to Roman numerals.
It's the fact that, a website ended up talking to a historian about numerals and symbols to try and justify it, and it's like... It's just a fucking logo. It either looks shit or it doesn't, you know?
I mean, just don't look at it as Roman numerals. Look at it as a tally chart. So Black Ops 5 will just have a cross through it. It would be great.
See, that's actually what I was looking at. Like, I'm looking at it right now, and I don't hate it. Like, if I'm not to think of it as Roman numerals, like, I don't hate it. I think it's quite a nice, simple sort of logo.
Well, my worry is the next one is going to have 5 downward strokes instead of 1 across, because that happened in an episode of The Flash. He did 5 downward strokes and then 5 more downward strokes.
Oh, I remember that. That was so
it was like, what the hell are you doing?
All the Doctor Who episodes where they were doing with the silence and they did 5 downward strokes then crossed those out.
It's fine, we probably won't see a Black Ops 5. We'll just get another Call of Duty something else instead.
What was the last Treyarch one? Was that... That couldn't have been Black Ops 3. Or was it? And am I just really confused with my timelines?
Yeah, I believe it was Black Ops 3 and then Infinite Warfare.
Honestly, I find it hard to keep track of all of them, and I'm probably going to upset a lot of people, but I get Battlefield and Call of Duty confused all the time.
Really?
On the surface, you know, when you look at them, it's like, which one's this one? Like, is this one Call of Duty? Is this one Battlefield?
I find it interesting how the Call of Duty, Activision, have jumped the gun after, I think last week we were talking about Battlefield Battlefield 5, whatever, being... soft leaked, that Activision who just come straight out and announced it, announced their sequel.
The thing is, as well, it makes me laugh is how they made such a big fucking hoo ha about, you know, World War II being boots on the ground, you know, it's back to what you want, and they're immediately like, Black Ops 4! So it's like you're going back to the fucking series that everyone got fed up with. also, can we just point out that it's all well and good they announced this, but Smash Bros. Blew up the internet more than your shitty release, Activision?
That's true. I mean, the World War II one, which I must admit, I was very silly. I did buy. And it's worse than World at War. And that's a game that came out like 10 years ago. That came out after COD 4. And it was just pure, like, just... You know, just do it because that's what people want, and then we'll move on to something else. It's got so many little things that were in World at War, but not in this one.
The other thing as well, and I've said this for quite a few years now, is Call of Duty just needs to stop with single player. They just literally need to go, excuse me, burping away. They just need to go, okay, here is a $20 release, it's just multiplayer, and then next year we'll give you another $20 expansion pack. They won't, because Activision love money, but I don't think Call of Duty fans actually care about the single player, and they're just not that much fun. Battlefield 1 had some interesting single player elements. But the campaigns in COD have been terrible for ages. Even Infinity Warfare, which I really enjoy, even that story was a load of shit.
I don't know, if you take away that kind of content, though, you know the community is going to be up in arms about it because they're not getting something that's been in all the others.
I find it interesting you say that, though, because I know a lot of people who play the single player in Call of Duty every year and then go straight back to Battlefield for their multiplayer stuff.
Oh, shit, set myself on fire.
And vice versa, so they don't play the single player in the Battlefield. I know someone who's played, 300 hours of Battlefield 1 has never touched a single player.
I'm guilty of that. No, I did most of the campaign of Battlefield 1. But yeah, most of the multiplayer for me.
Also, isn't the Black Ops series the one that everyone likes the story on?
The first two they liked, and then it went really stupid. But the third campaign is the first two is quite good because it's to do with Mason and his story and stuff like that, and then the third one went all futuristic and really stupid.
Well, from one announcement about a return to a series to another announcement, V-Rally 4 was announced today, which makes it the first V-Rally game in 15 years.
Sorry, wow.
Almost 16 years.
I've got to admit, the trailer for it is really nice as well. Just the slow-mo shots and the stills of everything is really cool.
It's coming in September 2018 to everything. All the consoles and PC.
It was also on the Game Boy Color back in 1999.
Yes.
No way.
Original was on the PlayStation and it tried its best to hit everything, Game Boy Color and 64 Windows. V-Rally 2 was on the Dreamcast, PlayStation and Windows, and then V-Rally 3 was on the PlayStation 2, Game Boy Advance, Xbox, GameCube, and Windows.
Don't know how the game is too loud, so I'll just turn it down to the lowest.
So they've made their rounds. Did anyone here play the original 3?
This is literally the first time I have ever heard of this series.
That's because you are literally a teenager.
Excuse you.
I have to admit, I've never heard of it either. I'm sorry.
But yeah, if the last game came out 16 years ago, you said?
2002.
Yeah, I'd have been 6.
It's not an excuse. I haven't played it either, so I've got no leg to stand on.
I was a not educated in the games child.
See, I'm looking at the first one, and it does look very familiar. I'm wondering if I maybe have the demo or something. Do you remember I used to get the little demo discs for the PlayStation 1?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember getting the PlayStation 1, and I think at the time, I literally had two demo discs and no game for it at all. So I'd play Tekken 3, I think it was, with just Eddie Gordo and what's-her-face? I can't remember her name, but one of the characters, and they should just play that for hours.
That's because Eddie Gordo's combos could take hours to pull off.
Eddie Gordo was an absolute git.
He's the character that you just push buttons and you feel like you're awesome because he just does stuff. You're like, oh yeah, I'm so good. Look at me.
Yeah, I was great with Eddie Gordo. Not so much with anyone else.
Although me and my brother used to play Tekken all the time, especially Tekken 3. Used to love Tekken 3. And you know Martial Law, a bit like the Bruce Lee character. I used to keep doing that flip.
Oh, the flip kick.
The flip kick move. And he would be someone like Brian or... was Brian in Tekken 3? I think Brian was in Tekken 3.
I think Brian was, yeah.
If anything, though, he would play Eddie and do the spin top, just completely spin around, kick me, spin around. And I was like, I'm not playing anymore.
So I used to play King a lot, because I just loved all his grab combos. You could, like, pick people up and slam them down, and just, it was just so much fun.
Well, since we've gotten no traction out of V-Rally, let's move on to the next game that was announced recently from Coffee Stain Studios, the people behind Sanctum and Goat Simulator. They've put out a teaser trailer for Satisfactory. It doesn't really show much, just a alien creature trying to get a berry, and
which is absolutely adorable, and I want 500 of them.
It sneezed just now alone.
Yeah.
Oh.
See,
the sneeze is definitely the sneezing panda of the video.
For those who haven't seen it, so it's just a shot on this little creature just being absolutely adorable. In the background, there's lots of sounds of heavy machinery, and like sounds like big trucks like rolling by. And I was just waiting for any moment for it to get squished by like a giant robot or something. Yeah. I was just there like, no, please, please, please keep it alive.
So the video obviously is hosted on YouTube, as most video content these days is, and YouTube has their algorithms that have automatically thought that this game is the 2011 tower defense first-person shooter game Sanctum.
Oh, you.
So Coffee Stain are currently advertising Sanctum.
They might have you can select which game is featuring in the video.
You can, but if it detects, because it uses the same things to go through, like content ID stuff. If it detects a game, it will just put that in the tagline box.
Fuck right. Content ID.
Yes. So Satisfactory, I think the clue's in the title, Factory. You have to build a... It's going to be some sort of base building thing.
Is it No Man's Sky?
Right.
Oh, definitely.
But I'm very interested to see what they can do, you know, especially after... Goat Simulator. I don't know. There was no budget for Goat Simulator, was there? It was just kind of done on a whim.
Wasn't it one of them 7-day games? Like, or am I thinking of something else? Like the game,
yeah,
the game jam. I think.
Yeah, I think it was.
I know Super Hot was.
Picked up.
I should know this. I actually met these guys. But yeah, because they made Sanctum and such, but and Sanctum 2. But yeah, I think Goat Simulator was the result of a game jam, and it kind of just grew massively out of proportion. Mm.
Yeah, but it was a 1 month game jam held in January 2014. It was a joke, and then someone decided to make it properly.
And it did very, very well for itself. It hit that YouTube audience, and I think it got that YouTube gold. So obviously, yeah, everyone saw their favourite YouTuber playing it, and then they went out and bought it. And yeah, it just did really well for itself.
Fun fact, actually, about Coffee Stain, because when I went to the Sweden Game Conference arena, which you can read about on the site. Coffee Stain, like a few other companies in Sweden, actually started out as a bunch of graduates from the University of, I'm going to horribly mispronounce this, Hufta. And they've kind of been like the prodigy company of the... And it's been like quite interesting seeing how they've gone. But they're actually publishing a lot of games now. So things like Hunt Down and Deep Rock Galactic, that mining game, they're publishing, which is quite nice. And they recently bought... another studio, Gone North Games, which was another Swedish company, and they rebranded them to Coffee Stain North, so they're expanding.
Goat Simulator's made them a lot of money on the fair amount of money they'd made from the Sanctum series.
Oh, the amount of money they've made is ridiculous.
And good for them, though. It's not like they're pumping out rubbish. I'd just like to take the opportunity to check in with Cal. Mm. How are you doing?
I'm trying to get my ass kicked.
You're on fire a lot, I noticed.
I was on fire. There we go. All is well. I can try and be sneaky again.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah, you don't really seem to get that the point of this game is to sneak.
Yeah, it's more, the combat system is really good.
I'm not super keen on the damage numbers floating around.
You can turn them off, I just kind of like them.
I get them in like a first-person shooter, because that kind of just makes...
That's it, killing,
the sort of,
killing their sleep.
Yeah, it makes it quite satisfying, but in this, it just kind of clutters the screen.
Well, from an RPG point of view, it does make sense, because you get to see that kind of progression of you actually getting stronger with your hits.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forget they've made this more of an RPG than...
It is pretty much an action RPG.
And God bless it.
They've done a really good job of it. And, like, you can sneak. You can actually crouch now.
So you don't just awkwardly kind of walk past people and sort of turn your head and be like,
oh, yeah, it's like when you go in bushes, like in the old ones, you like it would automatically crouch you. Yeah. You can also...
The funny thing is I'm watching you run around the desert right now and I can't help but just think, snake?
Where's your backup sniper?
You can also be really lazy, like, you can set a waypoint and then follow the road and then, like, leave the horse and then just sort of look at your phone and just sit there. It does it automatically.
In Kingdom Come Deliverance, if you hold the run button while you're on a horse, it'll follow whichever footpath you're on.
Yeah, Witcher had the same kind of thing.
Yeah, these games kind of need like an auto move, like when you've got such large areas to cross. And so I just think how beautiful it is as well. Like, why would you not want to sort of run past all this?
It gives you an opportunity to sort of admire the world.
Plus, the fast travel points are few and far between.
But it looks like the game is quite like full of stuff to do. It's reminding me very similarly to Breath of the Wild. I mean, I just run everywhere in Breath of the Wild because there's always something to sort of interact with.
Ooh. So there's certain encampments, so that's like a really strong encampment. I'll get fucked up on that. Just do a bit more exploring.
Right, while you explore, let's move on to the last piece of news, which will kick us into our main topic. Fortnite Battle Royale is entirely cross-platform, kinda, because you can play across PC, PlayStation 4, Android, iOS, or Xbox One, PC, Android, and iOS, but not PS4 to Xbox One, and apparently it's down to Sony because Phil Spencer, the Xbox boss, tweeted that he too wished that they'd have crossplay, and then the Fortnite creators Epic Studios also replied to that saying we three.
Yeah, well,
the funny thing is when they first announced the mobile version, I was like, oh, cool, crossplay. And I got a bit confused at first because I was like, oh no, it's just your progression carries over. And it's like, no, you can all play together. And that's great. But surely I'm just going to be an ass. Like, surely the people on mobile are going to have a heck of a time trying to beat PC players.
To be fair, PC players have a heck of a time. PC players have a heck of a time beating PC players, so it's, yeah. I don't think it's going to change the gameplay too much, especially since you drop into a game, survive for like 5 minutes, and then get killed from halfway across the map by someone who you couldn't see and who couldn't see you.
Or you hide in the bush. Thanks, China. You just hide in the bush and sit there the whole game.
You don't need anything more than touch controls to do hiding in a bush.
Keanu leaves.
It's my kind of game.
It's interesting as well. Sorry, you go.
I was just going to say, like, I thought the same as you, like, you could sort of carry your progression over, but, like, Android, iOS, PC, and console players all playing at the same time is certainly new.
it's definitely the future of gaming, and Sony are the ones sort of holding it back. But at the same time, you know, you kind of look at them and think, well, while they've kind of got the majority of players, why would they promote that? You know,
I think in the short term that's a good answer, but in the long term, things like this are going to cause people to buy PC and buy Xbox, and people are going to shy away from PS4 because they're not going to be able to play with their friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Like they will have to jump on board at some point. It's just, I wonder how long. I wonder if they're thinking themselves, how long can we get away with this, or are they just completely against it? That's what I'd like to know.
I think that's why we're gonna. People have been. There's been a fair amount of buzz about the PlayStation 5 in the past few months, and I think it's something we might see talked about this year at E3, because PlayStation are going to start. Last year was, I think, the first year that they didn't sell more PlayStation 4s. The graph sort of has stopped moving up now.
And as we know, the money makers or the decision makers at the top, since they see their numbers start to dip, got to do something about that.
And since they aren't opting into these cross-play things, they're not giving any longevity to their console. It first happened with the Minecraft thing, where it's, oh, you can play on Switch, PC, and Xbox One all at the same time, but you can't play on PlayStation. I think it's spreading out to lots of other things. Rocket League crossplay became a massive problem when Xbox One crossplay was enabled, and
failed leap of faith.
glad to see that's still in the game.
Yeah,
it's. I just want to sort of interject quickly. I mean, obviously, like, you know, yeah, there are 2 points, actually. Like, okay, they're selling lower numbers of PlayStation 4s compared to last year, but, you know, they're sitting there quite happily with 70 million plus units, whereas Xbox, you know, 33 million. I don't think they're too concerned. But at the same time, like, I feel like we've, to a different degree, had this conversation before, but with Android and iOS.
How so?
I was sort of waiting for someone. I was like, I'm done.
I had a mouthful of pizza, so.
There was a big thing. Is Apple are a closed ecosystem. Everything about them is closed. Mm-hmm. But they still have, you know, they have their brand, obviously. The Apple survives on their brand. And, you know, there was a lot of time about, well, can we go back and forth between Android and iOS for gaming? No, because but obviously you can sync data from like applications and things, that's fine. But you're never probably going to have true crossplay on iOS and Android. And from my last job when we were doing development, like, yeah, no, that no, not going to happen. Especially because of the hardware differences and things. But anyway, coming back to the consoles, it's definitely a thing of like Sony do need to consider the benefits of this, because yes, they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot a little bit, especially considering that PlayStation Plus has gone up and they're lowering games and servers are still shit. But I really hope they don't do PS5 at E3, because to be honest with you, like, there really isn't a need if they just make their console more consumer-friendly, if they open up to cross-play, if they actually start not just being money grabbers. I still love you, Sony. They could extend the longevity, but I'd rather not have another console, you know?
I kind of agree with that, absolutely. It is, again, like, it seems as though Sony's trying to see themselves a bit like Apple. Like, they're bigging up saying, oh, we've got more exclusives, you know, because with Xbox, with their, obviously with Windows, a lot of the Xbox exclusives are also coming to Windows. But it's still not saying they don't have exclusives, because they're like, you know, console exclusive, and it's also available on Windows 10.
I mean, you mean all three of their exclusives?
Yeah. I mean, they've got a few coming out this year. I mean, the Halo series is no doubt going to come to PC. They've got Forza, Gears of War.
Sea of Thieves, which is coming out soon.
Very excited about that.
Yes, yes, very much so.
I think you did propose an interesting sort of case to look at there, though, with, because a few years ago you couldn't play games between iOS and Android. Nowadays you can. There are plenty of multiplayer games on those devices. You just play other people on mobile. It doesn't matter what they're on. So I think it's interesting to see that, like, Apple, who have for a long time been big proponents of, no, we won't play with anyone else, who are now letting things through.
But, just to sort of throw a spanner in the works there, what would be interesting, and again, we'd probably never know, is that because of, you know, Apple and Google working together and letting developers do this thing, or is it thanks to things such as Unity and their built-in netcode that makes it easier for developers? Because obviously both are beneficial, both are good, but I'm curious, I'd love to know, like, who was it that basically made that possible? Was it, you know, the actual companies themselves, or the platforms, or was it actually just the, you know, the game engine provider?
Can I just interject?
My knowledge of... Sorry, go on.
I was just going to interject to just say, like, this sold order for slaves, 6 boys for the priests at the Temple of Thoth. How dodgy is that?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
To be delivered to an underground station.
Oh, probably.
But yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, but I know iOS, you couldn't get multiplayer games on iOS to start with because Apple were shit scared of it, basically. So if you wanted to put your multiplayer game on Apple, you didn't. But then they kind of, once things, I want to say it was things like Clash Royale, not Clash Royale, what the Clash of Clans, and things like the games that came before that, when they took off on Android and started making
Angry Birds,
Google a lot of money. Even, yeah, Angry Birds with the...
Somehow got myself
I forgot what they're called. Leaderboards. Wow, I've forgotten every single word in the English language. But yeah, I think things like that. And then with games like Hearthstone and Minecraft, they allow multiplayer crossplay, and that's sort of big companies there going, we won't put a game on your platform if you won't let us do multiplayer.
And that's it, isn't it? Developers are going to want to have their games or their apps available to the biggest audience possible. And Jen, if Sony doesn't start playing ball, they will start to lose their exclusives.
Particularly as we go into the next generation.
Absolutely.
Touching back on the next generation, I think what's worth noting as well is the Xbox One X Project Scorpio was bigged up as, you know, as a new big ass console. You know, it was a new console, but it's still this generation because it's still part of the Xbox One family.
This is fine.
But what's interesting is the difference in hardware. I'm just looking at them both now. Like, you know, the Xbox One X was, oh god, the fire.
That's a lot of fire.
This is fine.
Just roll. Just drop and roll. I'm sure you're fine.
The Xbox One X, like, it is a big hardware step up, and, you know, it is, you know, the 4K and all that yada yada. Whereas the PlayStation 4 Pro is still a big step forward, but they didn't push it as a new system. It was an upgrade. So the thing is, like, I know everyone's going about PS5, and I really want to punch all of them. But that aside, it's a case of, like, well, would they announce a new generation and we go into the ninth generation of consoles, or would they just do a new PS4 Pro X7 2 swag that's essentially just got the same architecture and the same software, but it's just a beefed up fucking machine? Also, whilst I'm ranting, everyone's saying that Nintendo needs to do a new revision of the Switch. Go fuck yourself.
Are you saying that because you've only just bought one recently?
No, because the Switch is fine!
Yeah, but I don't know. Digital Foundry did something on it, and their point was basically because of the manufacturing process of it. Like, it uses a 20 nanometer die, And that's something that NVIDIA swiftly got rid of for Pascal, because it uses a Maxwell processor, I think. And yeah, I think I can't imagine them doing anything like the PS4 Pro Xbox X style, but they'll definitely do a revision, and that'll probably give it better battery life.
Yeah, I thought that something like that, or do what they do with the DS, you know, get like an extra large or something.
Yeah.
Switch XL for all you fat fucks.
It's a 4K screen.
I'd be interested to see how that one would work.
How big is the screen on the Switch? Is it 5-inch?
It's bigger than that. Hold on, let me go grab mine.
It can't be 5-inch.
I'm just going to Google it.
My phone screen is 5.
I can tell you it's a decent size.
It's about that big.
Yeah. I see the ace.
It doesn't like to brag, but I mean, it gets the job done, alright? And it's the form factor that matters.
I have no idea why I went to get mine, because I don't have any way of measuring it. It's bigger than 5.
Hold it up to the camera.
Would you like to know how big the screen is?
Go on then.
It's 6.2 inches.
Ooh. Wow, I thought it was at least 7.
Well, I was hoping to get Cal to open up Paint and give us a drawing.
It's actually, like, looking at the specs, I mean, I'm just on Wikipedia, so, you know, what do I know? It's got some good stuff in it.
I do want one.
It's good.
Again, I was one of those that was very anti the Switch. I was like, oh, this is going to be terrible, it's not going to do well, and very much eaten all of those words. And I'm still surprised just how good a bit of kit it actually is.
Me too. That exact thing.
Yeah, and again, same. Like when it got revealed, I was like, "This is a Wii U with the sides cut off. This is dumb." And then I saw Zelda and was like, "Oh god, I have a hard on for Zelda." And then I actually played it and I was like, "Oh, this console's amazing." Oh god.
And I had to sit next to that.
It was good. But I mean, the Switch itself, it's got, you know, 32 gigs of internal storage, it's running a quad-core processor and 4 gigs of RAM, well, memory, sorry, and a custom chip. But, like, even, yeah, I think the thing is with the Switch revision, it's more a case of, like, if they do it, like, in the manufacturing process and they make changes, but it's not an actual, like, big hoo-ha of, like, the Switch 2, it's just, like, does, you know, new Switch DS, then fair enough. But if they're like, we've announced the Switch 2 and screw you people with the first one, it's kind of like, why? What was the point?
Absolutely, and that's what I'm thinking with all of it at the moment, like the PS5. Everything just feels a little bit too soon. Does that make sense?
The problem is, as someone said, the shareholders are going to be looking at the bottom line, and the money is drying up, and a big thing with the Pro was that games will not you cannot get Pro only games. You can only get games that will run on the Pro and the PlayStation 4. So the shareholders are going to say, well, why can't we have games that just work on the Pro? Oh, well, if we bring out the PlayStation 5, oh, do that then.
Yeah, I mean, but it's interesting. Again, it's all the people at the top driving the decisions. But I mean, and I said this the other day to Kayla, like, if they bring out, you know, a new console, you know, realistically, all we actually need is, you know, the latest type of RAM, you know, upgraded parts, so better CPU, better GPU. But the big thing they need to add is bloody add SSDs and actually optimize your operating systems to work and actually be more efficient. That's what we really need in a new generation. We don't need more RAM and more power. Yes, that's nice, but we need actual advances in the storage and, in some cases, battery.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think especially with looking at the PlayStation 4 Pro, they've tried to do big upgrades to the games, and all of them run terribly. Like, there's a lot of games that do not run well on the PS4 Pro, but run much better on the original PS4, because it just runs it in a lower resolution. I think they need to do that big hardware update, or give players options to turn some of that shit off. Because that's a big problem.
You're talking about a PC, though, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, they're effectively. I was having this discussion with someone the other day that consoles the whole idea was, oh, it's easy, I plug it in and play, but now I plug it in and update for 3 hours, and so I just go on Reddit or Twitter, and at that point I might as well just be playing a PC game.
I know, I still find it rather amusing, a bit ridiculous how people would say to me, like with console, oh, you just put the disc in and it works, but like, when I download something on Steam, it downloads the entire game with any DLC or content that it may have included. And the amount of times I've played a PS4 game, put the disc in, like Call of Duty, for example, I'd re-downloaded that. It downloaded the full game, which took ages because the downloads are so slow. And then it went, oh, actually, there's some patches you need to now download. They're separate. So you now got to wait another 6 hours. I was like, well, there was
The PlayStation 4 does manage to download patches as well as the main files. The Xbox One, however, will download the title and then patches, and it's the Xbox One is just awful.
Yeah.
for taking so long to, it doesn't install it from the disc, it just downloads everything.
Yeah. What's cheeky as well, I was around a mate's house on the weekend, and we downloaded Rocket League. And it started downloading, and it's about 10 gig. And it said installing. And I was like, is that downloading? And it's like, oh, yeah, the Xbox downloads and installs now. I was like, does it really? Because that seems to be downloading. Because it was showing the whole little download bar and everything. So unless they've retitled it to make it look like it's installing, when the reality is it's actually downloading.
But this is the thing as well, like, you know, this is why we need improvements to storage and network, because they've put SSDs into Xbox Ones and PS4s, and you hardly see a difference. We need the operating system to be improved, and one of the big things of the PlayStation 4 was, you can download whilst you play, guys, you can download two things at once, and now it's like, that's great, but you've made downloads 150 bloody gig.
It's true.
I wonder, I remember a few years ago there was a lot of controversy of people buying physical PC games and just including a Steam installer and nothing of the actual game.
I've had that happen to me.
I wonder how much of the disc that you get when you put in the new Call of Duty or whatever is actually just a link to the PlayStation Store or the Xbox One Store.
It has to be the main game, because you've got people who have the consoles offline.
I suppose.
I mean, I can understand, like, if Steamworks titles, like, when I bought Half-Life 2, that was basically, you've got to download, install Steam. And that really pissed me off, because Steam, at one point, was utter shit. And everybody hated it.
It still has.
It's alright now.
Well, I mean, it works now.
It works now.
Well, does it?
Apart from when I open it and it says it's updating and does nothing and I have to force it close and open it again.
Which is like every time you open it.
There's so many things they could do to make this not awful.
I mean, when we were having, me and Kayla were having this conversation the other day to do with the whole crossplay and hardware and things, like, two things that we pointed out as well was, like, you know, if you know, we woke up tomorrow and Xbox have gone, fuck it, we're quitting the console race, Sony become a monopoly overnight. And the other thing as well was we were saying about how, what if they just basically made consoles PCs in the sense of, like, you can now buy Xbox branded RAM and upgrade your RAM every year.
That'd be awful.
But then... Well, yeah, because again, the PlayStation Vita memory cards, they're so fucking expensive.
I think that is actually... Sorry to interrupt, Carl. I think that is like a logical conclusion to where Microsoft are going at the moment with the whole, oh, everything you buy on Xbox, you also own on PC. And I think we'll see them slowly go into having more modular consoles.
That's what I was going to say, yeah, modular. Razer tried it already. Well, they didn't really do it with like an actual console, but sorry, a PC, but they did design a case which had all these modular parts on it. Like one contained, it had to be a custom Razer machine, and then the graphics card could be replaced, and the memory could be increased, the hard drive space and all that, bits and bobs. But they were trying to capitalize on that, and it was just a prototype, and it just sort of didn't work. Nobody is interested in it.
I don't think people are quite ready. Yeah, I don't think anyone's quite ready for it yet, but as consoles sort of get closer and closer to being a PC, that's the right thing to say. I think we will see a change in how consoles not operate, but what they actually are.
I'd have been interested to know how different this conversation would have been if the Steam Box hadn't not launched. Or at least if they'd have actually released enough of them to make people interested in wanting to buy them.
Yeah, but the problem there was they went with Alienware, and Alienware is shite.
Well, it's not that they went...
There's a little alien that glows. I mean, how can it be bad?
It wasn't even they went with Alienware. It was just Alienware were the only ones to get theirs out the door.
Yeah. They
Everyone else who promised didn't deliver.
My fondest memory of Alienware was years and years ago when I used to work in a computer shop in the UK. We have, like, what, two? We put an Alienware laptop on display, and about 20 minutes later, the thing burst into flames.
Wow.
And we all just stood there looking at this thing on fire like, huh, Alienware.
That shouldn't be happening.
My favourite Alienware story is my friend once got a PC shipped, and the box was so big he couldn't fit it in his house. He had to unpack the computer outside because it wouldn't go through his front door.
That's insane.
The boxes, this was sort of maybe 8 years ago, but the boxes were so big that it was stupid.
Actually, saying that, I had a massive machine once. I'm not bragging, just that it was just absolutely humongous.
not the size that counts.
And it was before I really knew much about computers, and I went into PC World, and I got the whole shtick from the salesman and bought a gaming rig. I was like, oh yeah, it's awesome. When I opened it, like, this case was so massive, but everything inside was tiny. Like, there was so much empty space that you could hear an echo when you, like, spoke near it. This thing was so big. And I brought this thing to uni with me, and we had to get it all pat tested. I had to, like, carry this massive fucking thing, like, down the road to, like, get it all checked out and make sure it was all functioning. I was like, what have I done? Why? Why did I do this? Just because it glows. Like, jeez.
RGB. Oh, yeah.
So... I went on the Steam page, just onto the hardware section, and all of the other things, so Steam Link, Steam Controller, have clickable links. Steam Machines has a paragraph and nothing else. There's no way of even buying a Steam Machine via Steam.
I think when I saw, like, Alienware, when they produced their mini console, like, console-sized machines, they made two, and there was the one which was the Steam, like, the proper Steam machine. But it was the entire laptop, a gaming laptop, essentially, in a small form factor, just so it could have, like, very low power usage. So the graphics card was like a 960M from NVIDIA, and it was an i7, one of the i7s at the time, but it was the mobile version. So it was all, like, it was upgradable in terms of memory and hard drive space. Like, you could, it used laptop memory as well. And then they brought out a slightly more closer to desktop model, which could be upgraded with a different graphics card.
Apparently, I found the Alienware Steam Machine page on Steam. It does exist. It's difficult to find, but it's there. The reviews pretty much all mention that it broke after 2 weeks.
Ow.
Because of a...
Oh, no.
I think it's a RAM... Sounds like a RAM problem.
Wouldn't surprise me.
But it was displaying a system light. So it sounds like RAM was melting in there.
Jeez. So backtracking a little bit to like the future of consoles and everything, and on the subject of like everyone trying their own sort of thing. Everyone is kind of trying their own thing, you know, like or have their thing. So you know, Switch have got this like portable console. I'd be really excited, especially for the PS or the PlayStation, is to see more of a focus push towards VR, because they're very big on VR, and I'd love to see them really try and take that like to another level. And if that is to be like, if there is to be a PS5, I really hope there's a massive emphasis on VR.
But this is the thing as well, that they have confirmed that they are going to release a new version of PSVR.
Which they really need to, because that thing is the only VR headset that has ever made me sick, and I've played on DK1s.
Wow. Wow. I must say that the field of view is actually... I don't know, I think the view is actually much smaller than what the Oculus and Vive does. I mean, it's 60 while the other 120.
It's a lower resolution compared to the others as well.
Yeah, lower resolution.
Again, but you can't fault them, because, I mean... obviously the time it launched, it may even still be like the most cost effective way to get into VR in terms of the actual, you know, top end unit.
I think if you buy the PlayStation VR, the camera, the Move controllers and the PlayStation 4 to go with it, it still costs less than a Vive.
Wow.
Yeah, and that is what made it work.
And there's games, and the Vive still. There are games for PSVR, and I think there's a couple of months, I think it was just before the new year, they said something about there being a minimum of 50 PlayStation VR games coming out from then through to this year.
I'd be interested to see if they keep up with the new PlayStation VR, if they keep up with the have it run off a camera rather than the sensors that Vive uses, just because they do limit themselves to how the games can work. Like, I know the Job Simulator guys had to basically rewrite their game to make it work with Oculus, because they were just testing it on with the Vive controllers and their motion stuff just didn't work.
I guess that's part of the problem, where you've got so many independent companies and developers making their own technology for VR and pushing it forward, that trying to get everything compatible is going to take a good couple of years before, you know, we start seeing sort of mainstream or like big companies kind of taking a handle on specific things.
I think as well, like, the way VR is going is, you know, we're coming into higher resolution displays, so, you know, more fidelity, wireless headsets as well. So, I mean, there is the possibility that Sony could, you know, ditch the need for the camera and just put it within the unit itself. Personally, I would love for Sony to turn around and go, hey, guess what? You've got this headset, we made it better, and it's now got augmented reality and or maybe mixed reality as well. Give us the whole shebang in one headset.
Yeah, but they also got to try and keep the cost down. And yeah,
that's the main thing. Yeah.
It's the cheapest VR headset, technically, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
And would it be
as long as you exclude the mobile phone ones, the
cardboard
ones. But yeah, I mean, that's the issue with, I'm going to say new technology, I know it's not a new technology, but as it's always going to be more expensive, and you're going to just have to wait for it to... it's only really just become kind of viable for like a large kind of consumer base, I guess.
This is true. Were you just eating a carrot?
I was vaping.
No, he was vaping.
God damn it.
I can't help it.
That's why I didn't say anything, because I was noting down the time so I could remove that.
And now you can't.
I'm sorry. I'll stop then.
I can just remove entire section. No one refer to this fact that just happened.
Damn it, it's too late in the podcast.
Whatever you do, don't mention the date. I think I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it.
one thing I forgot to mention in the news, Amazon Canada listed Splinter Cell 2018.
Oh, yeah.
It's since been removed, though.
Whoops.
I have only one comment to make on this.
That you hope it's another chaos theory?
Your diaries will be incomplete. You'll have to go back.
Bye-bye. Yes! I want it. Please don't hurt my feelings, Amazon. I need it. Please. Please.
Yes, I want another Splinter Cell. I really enjoy playing.
I don't even care if it's like... I mean, okay. So, which one's your favorite, though?
Chaos Theory.
Okay.
The others were good, except for Essentials. But Chaos Theory was definitely my favorite.
I kind of want them to go back to Conviction, because I really love that one.
Yeah, that one was good.
But I'll take anything to answer you, Splinter. So I'll take anything from Clancy at the moment.
As long as it has Michael Ironside still in it, I'm fine.
You mean back in it? He wasn't in Black.
Was he the last one?
No, that was Blacklist was the last one. It was
yeah. So they make a new one. Has to have Michael Ironside. isn't Blacklist supposed to be like a prequel though? I've not played it. Oh, it's actually current.
No, it's which puts Sam Fisher well in his 60s.
Well. Snake was really old.
I mean, I've been listening to the Red Sparrow audiobook, which is much better than the film. But there are CIA agents in their 80s trailing Russians, because that's a thing that apparently happened. That's what I was listening to today.
I mean, I can kind of believe that.
Also, a lot of recipes. The author of that book was very obsessed with food.
It is good.
This is true. The only thing I if they're going to make a new Splinter Cell, the only thing they can't do, and this has to be like engraved in lore somewhere, is don't put in the stupid first person segment. Just don't do that.
That was awful.
No multi, just co-op, no PvP. Just I want to sneak and kill.
Yeah, I did not like that mode.
But what about zombies?
Oh, zombies
is all the rage.
Right. In the final part of my Splinter Cell Diaries, I actually looked it up, how old canonically that Sam Fisher was, and in 2017 he was 60. And Blacklist was supposed to take place in 2017.
And look where we are now.
I'd really like to see him walking around in like a robe and slippers, just like with like a silencer and like his newspaper in one hand, you know, just being like, oh, here we go again.
When you start your first game with him talking about retirement, it kind of backs you into a wall.
So the Amazon...
They could always do like a prequel though, couldn't they, kind of thing?
Yeah.
The Amazon page is listed Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell 2018, so do we suspect this might be a E3 at Ubisoft? They'll go, and coming later this... an end of show kind of thing, coming at the end of this year... kind of release, or
I mean, it could
you
just
could
be
have
a
Michael Ironside walk on stage and like talk about it. Yes, he's like you hear this the night vision goggles sound, and then the whole stage goes completely black, and then it lights up. Yeah,
and someone's dead.
Yeah, so an audience member dies.
To be fair.
Sacrifice to the greater good.
I mean, I just want to throw out here that Michael Ironside, one, doesn't look anywhere near as badass as I thought he might, but he's also 68.
So he could come in with his slippers and his robe as well.
Yeah. But he'd be the right sort of vocal age to play Sam Fisher still.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they could also just get David Hayter.
Oh, yeah. that'd be amazing turn of events to be David Hayter played Sam Fisher.
I want Danny DeVito.
Having sort of just rethought it, obviously last year's E3 we had the massive leak of the Mario Rabbit game and they just opened with that. So I wonder if maybe they'll just open with Splinter Cell since this is as good as an announcement.
And whilst we're on the subject of E3, can Ubisoft, if you're listening, can you just repeat what you did last year? Because that worked. That was really nice.
No, repeat what you did last year, but with Aisha Tyler.
Yeah, bring her back, goddammit. And just please don't let the developers for South Park anywhere near the stage. Ever.
Oh, and can we have less of these staged, like, multiplayer... like gameplay, I hate it. It makes me cringe so much. I can't handle it.
It's like when they do them, and then suddenly it's like, oh my god, this totally non-planned event. This woman won. Well done. And she's like, oh my god, I won the dancing. It's like you're not even holding the phone. You weren't even playing. You're lying to us.
I think it was Anthem that got me, where they find a gun or something. It's like, oh my god, Jara's wrath. Like, oh wow, that's so cool. It's like, oh, please don't. No, it hurts me.
This is like the original Destiny review. Yeah. Where they did the same thing, and it's like, I'll just invite my friend, and then, oh, hey guys, how's it going? It's like, no one does that. You just join in and go, right, what the fuck are we killing?
It's like, oh my god, I found this badass gun. It's like, not as good as mine, though. I found this epic weapon, whatever.
You join, and then there's 3 minutes of fumbling with microphones, because no one is ready to join.
Absolutely. It's like, I can't hear you, what? It's like, oh, my game crashed. Oh no, what's going on? Oh no, I've got to go to the toilet, hold on.
No, Caleb, that was the start of this podcast. That's
oh,
not...
right, sorry.
I think the best representation of any online gaming experience is it's like a 5-second video someone recorded themselves playing League of Legends, and they're literally just like to their team, like, how do I do the special? And the response he gets is just, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. He's like, okay, thank you.
Insert racial slur.
We've reached the end of our time.
I was having so much fun. Yeah.
you can, of course, keep watching Cal play Assassin's Creed Origins if you're watching us live. If you're not, then you can find us and tweet to us on Twitter at Grincast. Find Game Grin on Facebook or Twitter. And our Instagram is at Game Grin site. Remember to check out our Twitch stream from 8 PM GMT every single day, where you'll find... and you can find this very podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or GameGrin.com. And while you're at it, game on.